Turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy 4. Deuteronomy 4. You can remain seated and we'll read our text this afternoon. This message marks part three of our series on the home. And for those of you who haven't maybe been a part of our Sunday night series, we've been going through the book of Deuteronomy. And so we find ourselves in chapter 4, studying the whole chapter and seeking God as I do. I thought maybe the Lord would give us a message in this chapter, but instead he gave us five. And the topic going through the chapter is how to preserve your home for God. How to preserve your home for God. All five sermons point back to that great truth. The first one, be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. This is the number one preservative of your home. I don't think that you'll find any blessings in your home if you're not a doer of the word. You got to be a doer, not just a hearer, but a doer. Number two, our second message, which was last Sunday, was be the discipler of your home, a discipler of your home. Listen, to do that, you have to learn yourself, and then what you learn, you turn around and you teach in your home. So be a doer of the word, the discipler of your home. And then today, our message is to be the defender of your home. The defender of your home. So let's read a few verses, beginning in verse 15. The Bible says, let me get there. Now I'm all messed up here. Take ye therefore good heed unto yourselves, for ye saw no manner of similitude on the day that the Lord spake unto you in Horeb out of the midst of the fire, lest ye corrupt yourselves and make you graven image, the similitude of any figure, the likeness of male or female, the likeness of any beast that is on the earth, the likeness of any winged fowl that flieth in the air, the likeness of any thing that creepeth on the ground, the likeness of any fish that is in the waters beneath the earth, and lest thou lift up thine eyes unto heaven, and when thou seest the sun, the moon, and the stars, even all the host of heaven, shouldest be driven to worship them and serve them, which the Lord thy God hath divided unto us, all nations under the whole heaven. So what God is saying to Israel, listen, we were not called to worship the creation. We were called to worship God. And here's what we need to be mindful of. If you're not the defender of your home, then what will end up happening is our children and yea, our homes will become idol worshipers. So we have to defend the faith, don't we? We have to defend the faith in our homes. We're going to talk about that. Let's pray and we'll get into it. Father, I pray your help, your guidance, your touch, your blessings. We need you. Without you, we can do nothing. We confess that. And so we pray for your blessings and your help. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, God had delivered Israel, and the Bible says that he did it with the iron furnace. He delivered them from what is called the iron furnace. Now, the iron furnace is like a furnace that heats up metal so that you can forge the metal into things like swords, or other objects that would be forged in this furnace. And what it would do, it was heat it up, and then all of the infirmities in the metal would be melted away, and what would be left would be pure, usable metal. Well, Israel was that metal that went into the iron forge. The forge was Israel. The forge was Egypt. The fire was Egypt. And while Israel was in Egypt, they were melted. They were purified. God stripped away all of their pride. God stripped away everything that they saw in themselves as greatness, and that they were down to nothing. And with that, now they're prepared to be God's people. They're prepared to be His and usable by Him. But here's the tendency that they had. They had this awful tendency to be in pursuit of idols. You know, we can relate to that. Because Israel, being delivered from the iron furnace, weren't out of there very long, and they started worshiping the golden calf. They said to Moses, was in the mount. He was with God. He was hearing from God. He came down from the mount. His face did shine with the glory, the Shekinah glory of God. And Israel couldn't wait, though. While he was there, they said, hey, make us gods, Aaron. And Aaron in his weakness, took their gold and fashioned it into a molten calf. And then he presented this calf to Israel and said, "This is the God that delivered you from the iron furnace," which we all know isn't true. But that's what they did. They pursued idols. And God knows now that they're about to actually enter into the promised land, that was their tendency, to pursue idols. And it doesn't begin as a nation. We need to remember that it begins in the home. God knew that. God knew that for a great nation to remain great, it had to start in the home. You know what makes great citizens? Great homes. And what makes a great nation is great citizens. And so God established the boundaries that would create homes that would create a great nation. And this would be necessary because without this beginning in the home, then that tendency would be to replace God and serve other gods. The same thing is true for us. And here's what's going to happen if we allow idol worship, the worship of things in the place of God, the worship of images in the place of God to happen in our homes, the same thing that's going to happen to Israel, and yea, did happen to Israel over and over. And we're going to see that in Joshua. We're going to see that in Judges, that they would be delivered by God, and then they would worship and pursue other gods, and they would be consumed. Look at verse number 24. "The Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God." And so when they pursued idols, then they would be consumed. Well, that's going to happen to you and me. We're going to allow idol worship, the pursuit of it in our homes, and what's going to happen is it's going to bring a consuming fire to us or to our family. So they would need to keep a watch over their own hearts, wouldn't they? So that this kind of thing wouldn't happen. You know what they needed? They would need to become a defender of the home. Take a look at verse 15. "Take ye therefore good heed unto yourselves." That's good counsel, isn't it? "Take ye therefore good heed unto yourselves." Verse 23. Look at verse 23, that first phrase. "Take heed unto yourselves." So it's emphasized. God's saying it again and again. Why? Because he understands that if we're going to be the defender of our home, then we're going to need to take heed to ourselves and to our homes. Implication. To ourselves, to our homes. The homes to which God has given us charge, moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas, those who have children that are sitting in here, those that have the youth of the next generation, those that are the influences in their lives, which could be deacons and pastors, moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas, we need to take heed to ourselves. Why? Because God has called you and me to be the defenders of our home. If we don't learn to defend our homes, then our children and the next generation will become idolaters. And you say, well, how do you know that? Because that's the bent that's in the hearts of mankind. Listen, God's people were delivered from the iron furnace of Egypt. And God, watch, He parted the Red Sea. They watched the waters part. They walked across on dry ground. They watched God bring those waters back in and destroy the host of the Egyptian army. And yet they still pursued idols within weeks. So if that can happen in Israel, watch, it can happen to you and me and in our homes. And in fact, will happen. So God says, take heed. What's that? Take heed. It's an action. Here's what it means. Be very cautious. It means be circumspect or walk circumspectly. We're going to really deal with that word. It means to walk not carelessly. It means to watch over your own heart and the hearts of your children, the hearts of those that are under the roof that you have. You go to work to pay the bills. God says, keep a watch. Keeping a watch of the hearts in your home means that you need to be very cautious to what you allow in your home. I'm going to say that again, and then let's say amen to it. Keeping a watch, here's what it means. You need to be very cautious of what you allow in your home. Amen. Walk circumspectly day in and day out. It means to be watchful on all sides. It means to, as a mom and dad or an authority in your home, it means you can't afford to take a day off and leave your family unguarded. It means you need to watch their every activity. It means you need to pay attention to their every friend and friendship and potential friendship. It means that you need to be involved with their life. It means you need to pay attention to every download that they let download onto their phone. It means, as one writer said, we need to walk not carelessly. I like that. We need to walk not carelessly. Know what's going on in your kids' lives. Don't let a blind eye become a part of your oversight so that you don't know their activities. You need to know what's on their phone. You need to know who they talk to. You need to keep a watch. You need to watch their hearts while they're in your home. Ephesians 6:4 says, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You know, it sounds like an intimate thing, doesn't it? Nurture and admonition. It means highly involved. It means understanding of what their intimate needs are, but also paying attention to their intimate involvements. Nurture, admonition of the Lord. It also, in Proverbs 29:15, child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Proverbs 23:26, my son, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways. Last time we talked about train up a child in the way he should go. He, she should go. And when they are old, they'll not depart from it. Why? Because it's in there. It's who they are. I can't remember the reference. It's not in my notes. I just thought of it. But there's a scripture that talks about investing and loving on children, even children that are your servants. In Bible times, you know, let's say that there was a family and they worked for you and you employed them, and so you had a love for their children like they were your children. These kids are my kids. You say, well, who do you think you are? Well, I'm pastor. Maybe that gives me some authority, but I feel like these are my kids. I love these kids. They're like my kids. These are my girls over here. These are my girls. These are my boys right here. All of them. I'm here right now because that's my boy right there. He preached and I had to be here to see it. My girl over there played the piano. I wanted to be here to see that. Listen, you invest and you love these children. When they're old, then they'll be your children. God said that. Well, why would we do that? Because we care about preserving. We care about their future. We see where they are. We see where others go in this life. We don't want that for them. We don't want it for us. And so we invest now to help their pursuit down the road. God says part of that is being a defender of the home. Being a defender of the home means you pay attention to what they do. It matters who their friends are. It matters the things they do. It matters what they watch. It matters what they listen to. It matters what's on their phone. It matters what they text their friends. You say, well, you know, you shouldn't be that invested. You should be that invested. You say, well, it's my phone. Well, I'm pretty sure I paid for it. And if you're not paying for it, you should be, so that you can say, I paid for it. Amen? So let me see it. Maybe in a nice way, right? We won't be mean about it, but it matters what's on there, and you should know what's on there. That's what it means to be the defender of your home. You know what's going on in your kid's life. I remember an illustration about a Navy SEAL, and there was a pastor, one of our early pastors when we were in the ministry, his dad was a Navy SEAL, and when he would talk about it, I would just sit up on the front of my seat because I had to hear this. And he, having a dad who was a Navy SEAL, you can imagine what their home was like. I mean, it was like, up at this time, whoosh, huh, you close, you know, make sure your belt line is right and your everything is right, you know, it's perfect. And so, you know, he kind of had this tendency, but when he would tell a story about his dad being going into the conflict, and he had his artillery, he had his men, he had his brothers. These are his brothers. These soldiers that are along his side, these are his brothers. You know what he's doing? He's watching their back. He's watching his own back. He's watching their back. And when they're coming in, they're circumspect, they're watchful, they're paying attention to their surroundings because they're coming into a battle. They would come up onto your point, you would come up on the scene, and you would kneel down, and you would have your arm ready, but your eyes would be open, and you're looking around circumspectly, paying attention to your surroundings. Why? You don't just run into the conflict. You got to know what's going on around you. That's how you guard your family. That's how you guard your brothers. And then you see that it's all clear, you send a couple of guys in, and guess what they do when they get in? They're going to watch for you, and then you're going to go in. God has called us to be the Navy SEALs of our home, to pay attention to what's going on around so that we can guard and protect and guide our family in this life. Do you know who is out to destroy your family? Let's not forget, the devil is relentless, isn't he? The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. Do you know what that means? That means we're at war. So I feel like I was at war when the alarm clock went off this morning, you know? Well, that's a different, you know, that is sometimes for some of us a war. But listen, the devil, he works in our minds. He discourages us in our minds. That's why we need that message Dustin, Brother Dustin just preached. He thought that we need to think on these things. Why? The battlefield is your mind. The devil is relentless to try to destroy us. He is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, 1 Peter 5:8 says. So what should we be? Sober, vigilant, down on a knee, paying attention to the surroundings, knowing what's going on, so that we can be the defender of our home. Yeah. It's our job to be sober. It's our job to be vigilant. It's our job to robe our family in the armor of God, Ephesians chapter 6. It's our job to be the defender of the faith, and face too. Make sure you wash your face. Look for the warning. Look for the warnings. Pay attention to the surroundings. I think that we need to, I'm done here. I think that we need to remember that we have a tendency towards idolatry and that we're weak. We're weak. But you know what's amazing about all of this is we sense the weakness in ourselves, and that helps us to know how needy our kids are. So we better be a defender of our home because we know how weak we are. That's true, isn't it? And we don't want that for our kids, so we decide I'm going to be a defender of our home. But here's another one, and I'll finish with this. We see it in others, don't we? What do you mean? Well, not in a judging heart. We just see the mistakes of other people, don't we? We watch teenagers pursue the world, and we watch where it leads them. And some of us, we've been around a while, so we've seen a lot of it through the years, haven't we? And we don't want that for our kids. And so what we must determine to do for the sake of this next generation is to be a defender of the home. Walk circumspectly. The Bible says, here's our word for today. Take heed. Take heed. Be a defender. Father, we need you this afternoon, and as we consider the great truth of the preservation of our homes, Lord, we consider that you have given us the equipment, the tools that we need to be that for our children and for our homes. Be a doer of the word. Be a discipler of the home, and now today to be a defender of the home. Would you help us to take heed? Would you help us to be watchful and mindful of what's going on in our children's lives, to pay attention to what they do, who their friends are, where they go, what they do with their phone, just as much as we can, Lord, to be a defender of the faith in our homes. Help us with that where we're weak. Help us to establish some protocols, Lord, that'll help in this process. Lord, give strength. Help us not to abdicate our great responsibility. Please. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together.